Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Attempted Adults with Anna and Chris.
Hey, everyone.
This week, we're talking about one of Chris's favorite things. Chris, what are we talking about?
Travel.
So, escaping wherever you are, going somewhere new, whether it's for an afternoon, a day, a week, a month. What's the longest trip you've ever taken?
A year? Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I do not do a lot of long out-of-the-country trips. I would say my area of specialty with travel is day trips or weekend trips. Chris specializes in the opposite.
Yeah, and I guess to try and tell you why we're thinking about travel, it is January right now. It is the new year. A lot of us are already thinking about, like, what we want this year to look like, and maybe travel is something that's on your, you know, resolution list. I don't believe in resolutions, but is on your, like, goal list of things that you want to be doing or thinking about doing in this upcoming year. Or maybe you're studying abroad in the spring or thinking about it for, you know, the fall or something like that. So we want to make sure that you have a bit of information about ways that you can do it safely, ways that you can save money, all of these different things.
Why don't you believe in resolutions?
I don't believe in resolutions because I think most people don't follow their resolutions. They don't make them smart. They're not actionable. But I believe in making goals that are prioritized in very particular ways and having very few of them. I think when you have too many resolutions, they're too high and they're too lofty, and they're fun for like a little bit of time, and then you lose track of them when life hits you. But a goal is something that you can follow throughout and like figure out the progress over time. So I like to pick one or two goals for every new year and go with that.
Do you mind sharing what your 2020 goals are?
My 2020 goals was to get into a PhD program that I really am excited about, and do all the steps that it takes to get into a PhD program. Yeah. And two is to really get back into being fluent in Spanish. Mm. I was born a relatively native speaker. I said relatively because I didn't speak it all the time at home. But I want to spend this year making sure that I get back fluently. So those are my two goals.
Nice. So I don't do goals. I try to do like themes. I think about a theme for my year. And then so 2020 is the year of relentless authenticity. I've decided that I'm just going to be relentlessly authentic and kind of see what happens when I'm not putting on a front or not faking it, and kind of see what happens in terms of where my life goes with that. It sounds so simple. It sounds like something I should have been doing since I was like 10 years old, but I find myself constantly needing to remind myself to come back to my actual authentic being instead of what is expected from other people, like what other people expect my being to be. Yeah, anyway, it's very, very up there in the clouds.
Yeah, is there an example?
Sure. So, I mean, I think that sometimes I'm so focused on being liked by people that I shift into what I think that they would want in a friend or in a partner or in a whatever, and then it's not who I actually am. And so then I'm trapped in something where I'm not being authentic. And so, you know, I mean, I think I don't have any necessarily like specific examples. What's interesting is, you know, I've been practicing this for a whole like, well, this actually started in 2019, but still, it hasn't driven people away. You know, I think that it's, and I wasn't expecting it to. I don't think that I have bad people in my life who are going to be like, oh, I don't actually like who you are, I'm leaving. But I found that it's made me so much more comfortable in my relationships and my friendships and everything that, yeah, I just feel better in them, and I feel more grounded in them by, you know, saying what I think and doing what I like and trying new things. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Back to travel. It's January. We had to talk about the start of the new year. All right. So travel overall has lots of benefits. And I'm curious. So I did a lot of my research online, and then Chris added to this from kind of life experience. So it's interesting to see how they've meshed together. I guess the first benefit that I found was improved communication skills. So this is both kind of verbal communication skills, especially if you're going somewhere where they don't speak the language that you speak, right? And then also just communication skills in terms of like communicating your needs and communicating what you want to do. And if you're traveling with another person, like balancing those, have you found that plays out in your trips?
Oh, for sure. I mean, communication is key, and sometimes not having the language skills that you need to be in a place actually teaches you to communicate in ways that you don't usually have to, like being able to use your body language, being able to use apps and things in a different way that maybe you don't always do. And like it helps open this weird like universal communication with people that is actually kind of beautiful. Yeah. Like, I have a really quick story. One of the first big travels that I did, I was studying sexual reproductive health and the effect of different communities on people's bodies and how that affects their sex lives, whether or not they talk about them or not. And so I was spending a good amount of time in India in an ashram that was for women. And at this ashram, the people there spoke a language called Malayalam, and I was having this conversation with someone. I can't really tell you what it was about now. It's been a couple of years, but they spoke no English. I spoke no Malayalam, and somehow we were having a conversation about like love and family through like she had a baby like in her arm, and like we were like communicating. And a really, I can't tell you what we were talking about, but I know we were having a dialogue, and I know it was like a continuous, like about like 20 minutes of like talking back and forth in my language and her language and like sign language. And like, it's something that I remember very clearly, even though I don't remember what it was about. So I think there's something about the universal human that is able to communicate if you really like tap into it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Which brings me to my first idea of traveling and what you get out of it, which is really pushing yourself out of your comfort zone and trying to do things that feel raw and feel uncomfortable, and making sure that you try and figure out how to do that in safe ways in different places. I think it's always important to remember that in any place that you go that isn't your home, that you have to kind of figure out like how can you be safe and be your authentic self, like you were talking about, but in a way that doesn't affect like the scheme of the place that you're in or like what your safety might be.
Which leads into one of the points I found, which was really about self-awareness and self-discovery. And this was talking a lot about traveling alone, and the benefits of traveling alone in terms of your own self-awareness and self-discovery. So I consider myself to be an ambivert. I'm sometimes introverted, sometimes extroverted. I tend to do best in small groups of people. That's kind of my sweet spot. But I don't know if I could travel fully alone. And I thought about this. So it actually started, I'm a huge fan of this survival show that's called Alone. And they like put survival experts out in the woods and they have to live with like no supplies and they film them. Anyway, so point is, I've thought about it and I'm always judging the people for making silly decisions that they make on the show, that I could never do in real life. But I'm like, oh, really? You're scared of a bear? Come on, man. But the reality of it is, I don't know if I could travel alone, because I think that I don't know if I can be alone with my thoughts for that long. So I'm curious about if traveling alone, have you traveled alone?
Yes, I've traveled alone. Not for very long periods of time. I think I usually consider my travel to for like longer times, like my year abroad and things like that, that was me traveling alone, even though at times I was staying with people.
Yeah,
but I would leave and go different places by myself.
I mean, I can't even like eat dinner alone or go to the movies alone. I'm one of those people who really I eat dinner alone, but like not in a restaurant, you know. I mean, I think about some people really have this gift of spending time with themselves, and maybe that's one of my goals for 2020 is to work on that. But I think, you know, it's not a strength of mine. And so I think that traveling alone would be such a huge way for me to, one, step out of my comfort zone, but two, kind of do a little bit of that self-discovery of, you know, this self-awareness around why am I so averse to doing things alone, which is interesting to consider.
I think I went through that process as well of trying to figure that out. I realized that I come from a big family, that I'm usually around, well, at least when I was growing up, all of the time. And unlike my partner, who is an only child and can spend endless hours alone. And I just, I couldn't quite understand it. And I did have the same thing about not being able to, like, go to a restaurant by myself. And so I started doing, like, little small, you know, adventures by myself to try and do that. So I went to San Francisco and I stayed with friends, but I mean, they had their own lives. They were going to work and things like that. And so that forced me to have to, like, make a list of things I wanted to do by myself while I was there. When they couldn't be with me, I had to find restaurants I wanted to eat at when they were at work and, like, go and eat. And it actually was pretty hard.
Yeah.
But I learned something from it. And I think you don't have to, like, compromise when you're with yourself and alone. Like, you know, when you go out to eat, well, when I go out to eat with people, I typically, like, I'm the person that wants to, like, share what we get, like, get a bunch of different things and share it. And when you're out by yourself, you don't have to share. You just you just get what you want, you know, budget depending, and eat it.
I love it. So one of the other benefits of travel in general is disconnecting. And so I think about this weird, maybe it's not weird at this point. We are always connected, right? I am always, my work email's on my phone. We use Slack as an office. I'm always connected to work. Even when I mute it, I know it's there, you know? And so I'm curious if you have any tips for, and I'm talking about disconnecting from work, but you could be disconnecting from any number of things, right? I'm curious if you have any tips for how to fully disconnect. I'll say my tip is that I go places where there's no cell service, you know? And so when I take time off, I'm usually going somewhere rural. I'm usually hiking or on some sort of weird adventure. I rarely go places for my trips where I can physically check my phone. And so I'm curious if you have any tips for disconnecting when you do leave.
Well, yes. Sometimes it is made for you.
Like in my case.
Yes.
Right.
Where a lot of the countries that I've been to and the rural areas that I stay in, they don't have any cell service. But I know that if I'm going to be out there alone, I try to do a little bit of research about ways that I could get connected in case I needed help.
That makes
sense.
So
I try to, I've been working on this thing where I used to be really obsessed with my Snapchat. Where, like, I was kind of living through my Snapchat. I would, like, go do things and I would, like, video all of it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really living in it, right? We all know this kind of story.
You were doing it for the gram. Well, for the Snap.
And so first I deleted the app for a bit. And now I have the app again, but not actually don't connect with anyone on it. I just use it for the filters. That's a different story. But
I have so many questions.
But my point is that I, like, started taking away need to be fully connected all the time, whereas now I don't actually feel like I need that. So, but back to the safety thing. Sorry, I'm jumping around.
No,
but
it's okay.
If I'm going somewhere where I know I'm not going to have self-service, I look for the internet cafes before I, like, step out, or, like, before I leave, like, you know, my apartment, or before I even get to the country. Like, I'll be staying in this place. I want to know where the internet cafes are. I want to know where the police department is, where the fire department is. Like, I want to know where anything that, you know, requires me to be connected quickly. Like, I need to know how to say the word taxi and
hospital
yeah. and, like, those very, like, specific things, and need to be able to say it well and clearly.
Right.
So those are some of the ways that I, like, think about being disconnected. And then I also use my iPhone to block me from doing certain things now. So, like, on your phone, they have that, like, I forget exactly what it's called, but you can, like, timer or
I have no idea. I'm trying to help you, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, wait. It essentially, like, it's a timer that says, like, oh, if you've used, you can say, I want to use Instagram for 30 minutes today.
Wow.
And after 30 minutes of use, it'll turn off.
Oh, that's cool.
And it won't let you, like, back onto it.
That's so cool.
It is really cool. I'll find out what it's called and I'll tell you. But, yeah, so I do that, and it's actually a little bit annoying because I have mine set so that on the weekends I can be really present in whatever I'm doing. So I actually block all of my social media on the weekends from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. And sometimes you actually just, like, wake up and want to use it.
Yeah, that's a long time.
It's a long time, yeah. But it's because, like, if I'm working on applications or if I'm writing a page for my book or something, like, I'll get distracted.
Right.
So same with travel. I try and block myself from things so that I can focus on what I'm there to do.
Mm-hmm.
That was really long, guys. I'm sorry.
So I want to circle back to the very beginning of that, though. What's your favorite Snapchat filter?
I have no idea. Like, I don't use it that much anymore.
I don't believe you.
No, I'm serious. I really don't use it that much anymore.
Is it the dog ears?
Yes, I do. I do love the dog ears.
They used to have one. I don't use Snapchat really anymore. And so they used to have one that made you look old. Oh. I thought that one was very funny. I don't know why. That's fine. It made me laugh.
I could see that for you.
So, all right. So we've got, did we cover our list of all of our benefits of traveling? Is there any we missed?
I think we exploration is just in general.
Yeah.
Right? Just exploring and being out there and learning something new about yourself. I always say that, actually.
Mm.
I really encourage people to study abroad. And I know for, like, financial reasons and tons of other reasons why people can't study abroad. But if there's one thing, I would say do it, because every time I have left and returned for an extended amount of time, I have really, like, channeled into more of who I think is my authentic self. And I think that, like, being in a very American-centric place, I never knew that there were parts of me that I didn't know weren't being tapped into. And so that's really interesting.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
Right. So I'm curious what, I don't want to say favorite trip, but a memorable trip that you want to share with us. If you can kind of paint us a word picture here.
Yeah.
Of a memorable trip. Actually, memorable trip.
There is one that really stands out to me. So, I traveled to South Africa, on the same, like, multi-country trip. I went to India, South Africa, Switzerland, and China over the course of a year. And my time in South Africa, which if y'all know about, like, the history of South Africa and apartheid and being a woman of color, like, was a very, like, odd and something I was kind of afraid of. To be going into a country where I wasn't certain how safe that I would be, even today. And my partner's mom was dating the South African diplomat to the United States at the time. And they had told us all these stories. Their mom is, like, Black identified, and they experienced a lot of racism. And so I was nervous about that. But I decided to go and stay with a family. And something that you should know about me is that I really believe that you don't actually travel anywhere if you are going to tourist spots. Like, you haven't experienced the place. You haven't experienced the culture and the people. That's just my own personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I try really hard to find a community to stay with and live with to learn about that place. And in return, learn about myself. So, South Africa. I stayed in the township of Zwelithemba, and it's a really impoverished community of about 300 at the time. Very tiny.
Yeah, small.
2 hours outside of Cape Town. And I was there mostly providing, like, public health assistance to people in this community, doing boo-boo care, helping them. The closest hospital was about an hour and change out, so doing that kind of work. Anyway, the family that I stayed with was a grandmother of around 65 years old who had two little grandbabies, and one was HIV positive, born that way, obviously. And what I learned in this trip was I had a lot of biases about HIV and AIDS because of what I was taught in school about it.
Right.
Right. So when I found out that this baby was HIV positive, the grandmother actually, she sold wares in the big city. That's how she made her money. And so she told me one day, she was like, Chris, I have to go sell my things and you need to stay here with the babies. And I was like, oh, what? So there was a lot of things I had to learn in that moment. And that time she was like, oh, yeah. And by the way, you know, the baby's HIV positive. So these are the things that you need to do to make sure that they stay healthy and safe while I'm there. And I was just like, oh, my God, this is a really big thing. Like, what do I do? How do I take care of them? Like, am I good enough? Like, I don't know. Like, am I, you know.
So many things.
So many things. And she sat me down and she was like, well, why do you feel this way? And like, why are you so scared? Like, you have siblings, you helped raise your siblings. Like, this shouldn't be a scary thing. It's only like a night. And I was like, yeah, but I don't know. Like, this child's life is in my hands. It's a very regimented schedule for the things that she needed to do. And I had to confront my biases. I had to then understand South African educational system around HIV/AIDS, which is way beyond ours in any way, shape, or form, for good reason. And I think for me, that trip, I learned about family and living on minimum, living with less in a way that I thought I understood, but I understood it from an American context. I didn't understand it from a global context. Mm-hmm. And so I really learned how to live on less and have less for a good amount of time. And I didn't have a real job while I was there. So really, it was just an eye-opening experience. And I think that trip really taught me how to be a professional in a variety of settings, and also how to really do things in a budget-friendly way. So I can go into any environment and someone can be like, you need to do this. And I know for myself now, I can do anything with very little and still make it amazing. That was a really long answer, but that was my most memorable trip.
Yeah, that's your memory. So when did you start traveling? When did this start? Was it something your family did, or did you decide one day, nope, I'm going to start traveling. This is going to be my thing.
My family never really had the money to travel, but my mom was always really adamant that she wanted us to always have learning experiences. And so although we didn't get to go on like big trips, we did a lot of day trips. We went to the museum a lot in different states. We did different kind of fairs, things like that, day trips. Mm-hmm. And then we'd come back and we'd have to write essays about it, but that's just a different story.
Oh my gosh.
I started traveling in ninth grade. Ninth grade, I went abroad to Scotland for the summer to be in an acting troupe.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I performed all summer at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival the summer of my ninth grade year.
That is so cool.
With Alison Williams, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was the first time I started traveling. I had to learn a lot.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah, totally. So when you get to a point where you're like, maybe this is not your process, but do you get to a point where you're like, I need a vacation, I got to go somewhere, and then you just like throw darts at a map? Or what do you do to kind of determine when and where to go?
Oh, I think it really depends. There is a point in time, it's not like I need a vacation, it's like I need to be grounded.
Okay.
Yep. So where can I go and be grounded? And I think it depends on like, how much time do I have? Am I going by myself or am I going with others? How much money do I have? And then what time of the year is it? So all of those things kind of factor in. I always travel in January.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So where are you going this month?
I'm leaving for New Orleans, actually, on Monday.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'll be there for a week and change. But it's because it's my birthday. I always travel in January for my birthday.
Yep.
So if I have a lot of time to plan it, I try to plan like farther out. Depends on how much money I can save. But travel can be really, really inexpensive. That's a whole nother conversation. But for those of you that don't know, and this is a secret for our listeners, okay, if you want to travel to the Caribbean, it's January that you want to travel because you can get like a round trip ticket to the Caribbean for $100 on JetBlue.
Really?
Almost every single year.
Wow.
But that's a secret. Don't be telling people because I don't want them to jack their prices up.
Okay, my secret. I won't tell.
So that's for me. But you, on the other hand, we've been talking a lot about me.
Mm-hmm.
You said at the beginning that you do a lot of day travel, local travel. Mm-hmm. Like, why? And how do you choose where you're going? And what's your memorable trip? That was a lot of things, but like,
I'm giving you
the floor.
I got it. Okay, so I don't exclusively do day trips. I just do more of them. I think you have a practice of travel is what I'll call it. And I don't have that in the same way. The memorable trip that comes to mind is a longer term trip. I have family in Alaska. And so I went and visited them with my immediate family a couple years ago. And my brother and I actually spent a couple days, 3 or 4 days in Denali, and we went backpacking. And it was just really memorable to spend that time with my brother, to be, you know, completely off the grid. Even if you wanted to be on the grid, you are literally the only people for miles, because they give you a quadrant and you have to stay within those limits. And so specifically on this trip, it was really cool because there's no trails. So you bushwhack the whole way. You kind of, you have to map and compass where you want to go. And we literally, we crossed a river. My brother is like 6 feet tall and kind of like, he's larger than I am. And so river crossings were really hard for me because the water is moving and you like almost get swept away and you're trying to go. So he had to go in front of me. I bear hugged his pack. And then we kind of like side shuffled through this because otherwise I couldn't physically move my body. It was crazy. Anyway, so we get across the river and then we're standing there and we look and we're like, let's go to the highest point we can see. And so we found this ridge line and we took out our map and compass and we plotted out where we wanted to go. And then we start going into this tundra and it's literally up to my chin. It took us so long to go probably a mile because this, like, the brush and stuff was so intense. And then we get to the top and it just opens up and you look down and like, I saw a moose, we saw wolf tracks, we saw so much bear scat. So all of this stuff, it was amazing. And then we camped there. We each set up our tents like on this little ridge. It was gorgeous. And then the next day we hiked down off the ridge and we were close to an area that had had bear activity in it. And so like the bears had killed a caribou or a moose or something. And so you're supposed to steer clear. And one of the things that you do if you know you're kind of near bears is you make a lot of noise. And so my brother and I sang this song by Head and the Heart called Rivers and Roads. But like we only knew the chorus. So we sang the chorus for probably 20 minutes in different voices. And now I cannot hear that song without singing along terribly to it because I just, it was just this like sweetest kind of most innocuous moment of us just walking down this off of, not innocuous, it was actually kind of a big deal, but walking along this gorgeous ridgeline with these beautiful views of Denali and singing, which was just so fun. So that's my most memorable kind of bigger trip. I think for me, the reason why I tend to take day trips is because I don't prioritize travel in the same way. I think that it does feed my soul, but I think it feeds my soul differently than how it feeds yours, right? And so I don't necessarily find it to be, I find it to be grounding, but I find other things to also be grounding. And so how I prioritize my spending and my time is just not as much on travel. And when it is on travel, I found that I can get what I need in day trips or weekend trips and things like that. So I tend to travel to places where I have friends. So I'm saving up to go visit my best friend in Montana. You know, I mean, I think that there are things that I do that are smaller. Like I, you know, I'm not going to South Africa, I'm not going to the Caribbean, but going to Montana. So that's fun. And I think that, yeah, the way that I need to use my time and resources lends itself more to day trips.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has things that feel good for them and that feed their soul in different ways. I mean, that trip sounds wonderful and
yeah,
also super terrifying to me. I don't think I could possibly have done that. Like, I think even being with one other person in the woods for that long in a place that's unmapped without other people, like that, like I feel my heart right now, like scaring me to death. But
should we talk about that time we went on a hike?
No. But I see how like it could feed you, and I mean, mm-hmm. I follow your Instagram, and like mm-hmm. I'm always like, wow, like I wish I didn't have those fears so that I could like take those beautiful pictures and not hate almost every minute of it.
I mean, I think what's neat is that it's not about one being better or worse than the other. You know, I think what's really important about it is figuring out which or what is soul filling for you. You know, and I think we've each found that in different things, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So when you travel, I gotta ask, how do you save money for it? Like this sound, I mean, I know you have a lot of kind of hacks of finding ways to travel for cheaper, but do you have any tools that you use or tips?
I take a little bit of money out of my account every, I don't see it. It goes straight into my travel account.
So you have a separate account just for travel?
I have a separate account just for travel, but that's kind of how I do my saving in general. Mm. Like, whenever I'm saving for something, it goes straight out of my account. So I don't ever have to see it. And if I need to put a little bit more, or if I get a little bit more from something, then I put it in there as well. And then how else do I do it? Well, that's how I save. But in terms of like finding like hacks and things, like I follow people on Instagram that like travel a lot to see what they put out. They usually are often putting out their own their hacks and their tips. One of my favorites is Scott's Cheaps Flights. That's not an Instagram account. It's just a website that you can follow. You can either pay for it. It's like $50 a year for the premium account. I don't pay for it anymore. It still works just fine. And he sends out when airlines make mistakes.
Oh.
And so like some of those bigger trips, like if I want to like travel to Spain or Iceland, I've never been to Iceland, but if I wanted to.
Sounds cool.
There's always like mistakes that the airlines make, and it's only up for like 2 or 3 days. But the key is you have to already have some money aside to like.
You have to be ready to go.
So I always have money that is saved to like pick up a really cheap flight to wherever I want to go.
That's a good tip.
And like I'm usually the kind of person that like that person might want to travel with me to this. Mm-hmm. They might not have the money right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually have enough that I can like front a person and then they can pay me back later. I'm also currently planning my cousin's reunion, which
reunion.
Yeah,
like a family reunion?
Yeah, with just cousins.
Nice.
Yeah. My sister and I are doing that. And so it's a smaller trip. It's going to be a weekend trip in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we're doing that is like the same way that I think a lot of people do it. We find an Airbnb that might, we can like figure out how much different people can afford. We always want to make sure that it's affordable for a variety of different people. We have cousins that are as young as like 18, 17, you know, still in school, not going to have a lot of money. So we try to put a pile of things together to, like, allow access for different groups, understanding that some of us have more money than others. And going from there and trying to plan different activities that require different ranges of funds.
So who's your favorite person to travel with?
Mm.
No pressure.
My favorite person to travel with? Myself.
So you prefer solo travel over
No, I mean, I like traveling with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
My sister probably is my best answer. We do the most travel together. I've had to live with her my whole life, so like if she really annoys me, I know how to deal with it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Other people, there's more, it's more complicated.
Yeah, totally. Nice.
Choose your travel companions wisely.
Your travel companions. I love it. And then my last question for you is, what have you learned? What's your biggest learning from your travels?
The biggest learning from my travels is that you are a tiny speck on the earth.
Mm.
Like, not to take yourself seriously, because the world is so much bigger than you, and anything that you feel is like a big deal in your world is probably a small deal in someone else's world. And I try to hold on to that, especially in moments when I feel saddest or when I feel that I'm struggling with something, that there's someone else out there that is struggling with something way bigger. And not to say that what I'm struggling with isn't important, because I think that's a whole nother complicated thing, but it just helps me to remember that, like, even a little thing that I do, like going to a country and trying to be a person that like really cares about being there and like to give back to a community that has opened their space to me, is just a good way to give back to the earth, in my opinion, and give back to a community. And so I think you make a difference in tiny little ways, in whatever way that feels good for you.
Yeah.
And how about you? What does the woods teach you?
What does the woods... Oh, my gosh. What doesn't the woods teach? I think what I've learned is that it doesn't take much to get away. You know, I mean, I think for me, my time is really jammed in. And so dedicating a day and being able to get what I need out of one day is pretty wonderful, that I figured out how to do that. And so I think it also teaches me that I'm really small. You know, I think that there's something about being in a place that's very expansive for me, whether it's a mountain, whether it's the ocean, you know, something about that kind of makes me realize the impact that I am having and can have in a positive way. The air feels cleaner. You know, I think I breathe deeper. There's a lot of things that it gives me. Typically, I also am moving my body in some capacity, which grounds me a lot. And yeah, I mean, I think what I've learned is really just about figuring out what feels right in my heart and my brain, and continuing to do those things. Yeah.
So last fun question, y'all, before we wrap it up, this little tiny episode on travel, which is just the beginning. I think we can have a longer conversation about it. But Anna,
what
are your favorite, most important things that you always take out with you when you go to like these smaller trips? Like, what can't you leave without?
Okay, if I'm hiking, I have to have, this sounds very childish. If I'm hiking, I usually bring a peanut butter and fluff sandwich because I never had them as a kid. And I discovered them when I started riding my bike long distances. They would have them at the water stops for this one ride I did. And it was, I swear to God, I took a bite the first time being like, I don't know if I'm going to like it. It's probably too sugary. And my eyes like grew three sizes. I was so excited about it because it's sugar and carbs and fat and delicious. So that's become my hiking snack that I always bring with me. In terms of like realistic things that I don't leave without, if I can bring my dog, that is something I will not leave home, because she's a great travel buddy. I always bring my phone because it's my main way of taking pictures. And I always bring an extra pair of socks.
Oh.
Always.
That's good.
Yeah. What about you?
For every trip that I go on, pretty much, unless I'm staying in a hotel, plush hotel that I'm aware of, I bring my sleep sack, which is a little, it's like, think sleeping bag, but it's just like the liners, like the thin.
Mm-hmm.
And I can put that over any hostel bed, any person's bed that I'm not really familiar with. I also always have the microfiber towels.
Oh, yeah.
The quick drying. Yep. I always find those very useful and helpful.
Yeah.
So those pretty much always go with me. And let me think. I have these, you know, when you're traveling a lot, you don't always know. I like to move, like Anna, not in the woods, but I do think movement is super important. And when I'm not near a gym that I can get to, I have this really small bag of, like, resistance bands that can pretty much travel with me anywhere. I can do almost any workout with them if I can't find a gym or something to move. And so those typically like go with me anywhere so that I can make sure that I have some weights, since that's typically how I work out. I lift weights. And so that those are some of the things I always have with me, and a water straw, the water cleaning straw, because in any of these countries, you might find yourself in a situation where you can't get clean water. So I always have that with me as well. And they're small things that usually save the life.
I love it.
Yeah.
So overall, I mean, our takeaway is like, whatever you can do to ground yourself, do it. If it's huge, big 8-day trips, well, that feels huge to me. But if it's a longer trip, amazing. If it's a day, a Saturday, where one of the things I've done before is I look what is within an hour radius and I just go there and see what I can find in the area, you know, and I research somewhere I've never been before. I just kind of look at the local areas and do something that gets you to a new place that you can explore.
Sounds like great advice, Anna.
Awesome. All right, so that about wraps up our episode. Anna here, I have a quick sad announcement that I'm going to be stepping back from the podcast going forward. I need to take the time for my other life selves So Chris is going to keep running with it, and I'm really excited to support, hopefully come on and guest spot on occasion and talk to you again in some capacity at some point soon, but I will not be on as a co-host after this episode.
Yeah, we wish you well, Anna. And for the fans, we will be figuring out how to move forward. So I'll let you know how that goes and keep checking out our Instagram to figure out. But if you're interested in co-hosting or, you know, have an episode that you are interested in talking about, like, reach out to me, wellness@smith.edu, and we'd be happy to have you.
Always yours in attempted adulthood, Anna
and Chris.
Bye, y'all.